Thank you, Donna. Good morning. Good morning. Amen. Give everybody that wave, and I'm talking about a good one, the one that says, hey, I'm glad that you are here. I am glad to see you today. Don't scowl at anybody. Make sure that the coffee is kicked in and everybody is vibrant and ready to go. If you are part of our online audience, thank you so much for joining us. I do want to take just this moment to say that there are a lot of people on Sundays that do a lot of work behind the scenes that we don't ever see, that we don't ever really think about or know about, Ernie as well as Tim, Travis, just a bunch of the guys that are working the studios, Wesley, all those people that are making worship services possible to be seen by so many people and in so many ways. And one of those that, like I say, you hear me mention his name just about every Sunday, but I'm very thankful for Dr. John Cazito, who is a present voice to those that are. How many of y'all have ever watched a service online? Isn't it great how he fills in a lot of blanks, and he is such a great, great note taker, and he is there for those that are part of our online audience to have a great, great worship experience. And I know oftentimes we don't say thank you enough, but I want to thank Dr. John today for all that he does to enhance the worship service for those who are partaking in the online segment of it. Even in the aftermath, you can go back and you can look at his notes. You can tell he is a professor because, buddy, he puts it out there. He clarifies a lot of stuff I say sometimes, which is really good. I appreciate reading through his comments. But we are so glad that you are here today. Let us begin our worship service time with a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're just so grateful and thankful that you give us this opportunity, Lord, the freedoms that we have in which we can come and gather around your word today, and we can grow together. We can grow from one another. We can grow from your word. Lord, we thank you for this family that's called the church family. Lord, I pray for those that are here today that they would truly be receptive to the movement of the Holy Spirit in this place and in their lives. Lord, we also pray for those that will be listening to this service online, whether it's live today or whether it's in the recorded aftermath of a Sunday. But Lord, speak to their hearts. You know what we need to hear. And Lord, it's not about any of us on a personal basis, but Lord, it's about all of us corporately together. And you work individually in hearts and lives to make those things happen. So today we just pray that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, and we will be careful to praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, once again, this is our in-gathering for Operation Christmas Child. Now, I'm sure that there's probably somebody who came in here and went, "Oh, rats, I left my box." You're still going to be okay with that. Now, as always, one of the things that we do, we have you bring those boxes, as you see up here. We have you pray for those families. I was in here a little earlier, and I saw a lot of you sneaking in, so you don't have to bring your box up here. Don't miss the key part of this particular ministry. It's in knowing that there will be a child that will also influence a family that will receive these boxes. And they will receive the opportunity to hear the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So we ask that even as you pick up a box to start packing it, as you bring it forward, as you present that, you are presenting that as an offering to be used by God, being an instrument in his hand in the hearts and the lives of those that will receive this box, whether it's a single child, whether it's a family, or it could be a whole village. So don't skip the part of being able to pray for those folks along the way. So as always, this is our in-gathering day. I mentioned just a moment ago, this is our final in-gathering day for Central Baptist. But because we are a regional drop-off and we will have dates through this week where we will be collecting boxes, if you forgot it, you can bring it back tonight. You can bring it sometime this week. You can drop it off at the office. Whatever it may be, we will make sure that it gets to its proper place to be properly sorted and then sent out to the families that God already has picked out for that particular shoebox that you packed. So in an attitude of prayer, I'm just going to ask those who have your boxes today to bring them forward. You can set them here at the altar. Be sure to say that prayer for that child, that family, that village that will be receiving these gifts. And we're praying that one of these days in heaven, somebody may come up there and kind of tug on your coat and say, "Hey, I'm here today because you took the time to pack a shoebox and I got to hear about Jesus." So at this time, in an attitude of prayer, bring your boxes on down. If you snuck them in beforehand, come on down. Be sure to say a prayer at this altar for that particular box and those families. You come now. Father, as we come to you today to offer an offering, Lord, the opportunity to be an instrument in your hands to a child that we have never seen before, Lord, to be a tool by which to present the gospel in places that maybe have never heard the saving grace of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that in your kingdom there is already a face, a name, a person that is attached to this box, these boxes that have been laid here at the altar. And Lord, even though we don't know, you do. So we pray, Father, for the children, the families, and the folks that will be influenced by the simple act of giving a gift. Lord, I pray most of all that through this gift, that not only will they receive the joy that comes in receiving a gift, but Lord, that you would bless those who have taken the time to pack these boxes. And Lord, help us to experience the true joy of giving a gift. But most of all, Father, we pray that your kingdom would be furthered because the simple act of a small gift to a child. And Lord, you tell us we don't have because we don't ask. So Father, we are asking that those who will receive these boxes will also give their heart and trust to you. That someday when we reach the kingdom, not only will we hear from you, well done, good and faithful servant, but Lord, we will have a chance to meet those children, families that were recipients of not only this gift, but the greatest gift ever, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. So Lord, may your blessing be upon these gifts as they travel to their intended location. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as folks make their way back to their seats, I was a little disappointed. My bodyguard didn't come up here and stand with me for prayer. Don, I'm gonna have to cut his pay. You know, I gave him 100% increase last week. We're gonna have to discuss that later on. But at any rate, listen, we are glad that you're here today. I trust and pray that God is going to bless you. I know he's going to speak to you. I pray that we will receive him well. So as we take this time in music to prepare our hearts and as we worship him in song, Brad's going to come lead us.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing number 16, O Worship the King.
Oh, Lord, has my love and
We're actually going to be looking at scriptural passages that come out of the book of Mark chapter 7. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn to that passage with me. Mark's Gospel chapter 7. And as I mentioned last week was a special day. I always call it a special day. Every day that we have the opportunity to be able to get up and be a part of life, and particularly a life that is a life of freedom, then all I can say is this: God is good, and all the time, God really, really is good. So I do want to do one thing, just because of the United States Postal Service that let us down last week when we had the opportunity to recognize those that were our veterans. I am going to ask our veterans, if you would, once again, just join me down front. I promise I'm not going to get you to say anything, but I mentioned before that we have a little something that we like to present to you on behalf of Central Baptist Church. So guys, any of our veterans that were here last week, come on down. If you weren't here last week, come on down as well. I want you to take that opportunity to join us, and in a small way to be able to say thank you for what it is that you have done for each and every one of us individually, what you have done for our country, and the fact that we are forever grateful for you, for your service, and your willingness. So we finally had our package arrive. They said it would be here Tuesday. It wasn't. They said that it would be here Wednesday. It wasn't. They said it would be here Thursday, and it finally made it on Thursday. So this is just a little token of our appreciation to you guys as a way to say thank you for your service to our country and for each and every one of us. Who's high? Get down there, Steve. Yeah. He going to try to hide out. I see another one back there hiding too. Come on up. Come on up. You were with us last week. I have plenty. I've got plenty. I always make sure I got enough. Yeah. Like I say, you know, I spy you guys. Don't sit there and lay back on me in any way, shape, form, or fashion, because once again, we love you guys, and we are so grateful and thankful for what you've done. And I know that this may sound cliche because you only hear it at this particular time, but I want you to know that every Sunday when I have an opportunity to get up and preach the gospel, I am grateful for the fact that I can do that in the land of the free and in the home of the brave. You know, America may have a lot of problems going on right now, but there's still no better place in the world to be than right here. And we have our freedoms because those who are willing to stand up for those particular freedoms for each and every one of us. So on behalf of Central Baptist, I want to first of all shake your hand. I'll shake your hand, and then I will place in your hand just a little small token of appreciation from Central Baptist to each and every one of you guys for your willingness to serve, and as a very small way of saying thank you and letting each and every one of you guys know that we will never forget the service that you have placed for our country. First and foremost, but for each and every one of us as individuals, as we endure every day of our lives. What a pleasure it is to shake these guys' hands, to say thank you on behalf of not only our church, but on behalf of myself personally, to be able to say I thank you for all that you guys have done for us. I know we still have a couple of our other veterans that aren't here today, but I've got you covered as that goes. Guys, one more time, will you show appreciation for the United States soldiers that we know and love? Guys, thank you. We love you, and I can tell you that at Central Baptist Church, there's not one single day that goes by that we go out and have the rights that we have. It's because of you guys. Land of the free, because of the brave. Thank each and every one of you. We look forward to continuing our relationship together as friends, as brothers in Christ. And most of all, when we reach that place called heaven, what a joy it's going to be. But the opportunity for each and every one of us to be able to share in those particular freedoms. Man, I tell you, I am so glad. I guess one of the big things is being in a place that's not America. I know that some of you all have in your lifetimes been able to travel to various places. Maybe you've been able to go overseas and you see that things don't run like they do in America. If you've ever had the opportunity to be in a land that is a third world country, a place where there is no such a thing as democracy, you will certainly appreciate being in America when you get back to terra firma. I will say that with all my heart and everything that I have. Today, actually, we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Mark's gospel in chapter 7. And I want us to think about why we do the things that we do. You know, specifically when it comes down to how we follow our Lord and Savior. Yeah, I guess one of the biggest questions that that this particular passage reminds us of today is the fact that that too often what can happen is we can get caught up in tradition. Now, I want you to understand something. Tradition is not a problem until it becomes a problem. Tradition is fine until it begins to take the place of what it is that God wants for each and every one of us. In fact, if you would look at me, you would call me an old soul. You would probably call me a traditional soul. As you begin to head into the Thanksgiving season, as you begin to head into the Christmas season, there are certain traditions that you will observe as a family that are near and dear to your heart. There are certain things that you will do, certain places that you will go, certain foods that you eat, that are all part of that tradition. And in a lot of ways, they bring back really, really good memories. Amen? Yeah, it'll be when you're having that opportunity to sit around the Thanksgiving table and you know, you'll be eating, you know, grandma's potato salad or what have you. And even just the taste of it carries you to certain places and times in your heart. Those are things that are okay, as long as tradition doesn't circumvent what God's command is. So as we look at our passage today in Mark's Gospel chapter 7, we begin to see an encounter that Jesus had with the Pharisees. Read with me, if you would, Mark's Gospel chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. It said, "Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault." Verse 3, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches." Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. The washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." Let us pray together. Father, as we come to you now, again, we ask that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would move in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, may we reflect upon the way that we follow you. May we reflect upon even those things in our lives that may be tradition. And Lord, tradition is okay as long as it is not circumventing what it is that you want for us. But today, may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, particularly as we head into these times of the year where we honor such tradition. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's one within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that today would be the day they would truly trust Christ and that they would have that opportunity for eternal life. Lord, bless this time that we spend together. Lord, bless this, your speaker. Use me for these moments as your vessel to speak in light of your people as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we look at this particular passage, there are many things that we can see. So if I were to say to you, what is happening? What is going on in this particular passage? The answer to that would be that in this passage, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law had come to observe Jesus, and there were some things that they noticed. You know, they noticed that some of his disciples are eating food with hands that were considered to be unclean due to not being ceremonially washed. Now, we also realize, too, that the Pharisees were always in a position that they were trying to find fault with what Jesus did. They were always trying to find a way by which that they might convict him of doing something that was wrong or against tradition or against law or whatever they may. But they were after him. That's the best way for me to say it. The Pharisees were the ones that were after him. So they show up. Now, you also have to understand that when they showed up with a critical heart. They showed up with a critical spirit. Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever showed up someplace with a critical heart or a critical spirit? You know, a lot of times you sit back and you say, well, I'll tell you what, I don't really want to go to this thing, so I'm going to go to it, but I am going to look. You may not have said this to yourself, but say, I'm going to look for every single fault that I can find, and I want to point it out. Maybe you were trying to find a point. You were trying to prove a point to someone. And then all of a sudden what happens is, you know, you just kind of walk in like, you know, and I mean, yeah, hey, let's put it in a church context. Maybe when you came in today, you didn't like how the door opened. You didn't like how the ottoman was sitting back there. And trust me, you will find every single reason in the world when you have that sort of heart or when you have that sort of spirit. Yeah, you can walk in and you're like, well, I'll tell you what, I don't like what the preacher's wearing today. I tell you, that headset looks stupid. He looks like Britney Spears or something from the days of old. Yeah, we can come up with everything. I tell you one thing, I'm just so upset because I'm going to trip over all these boxes trying to get in and out of the choir. Yeah, I don't like what Brad's doing today. I don't like the songs that we're singing. You can find 10,000 reasons to speak out against something. See, if you already have a critical heart or a critical spirit, then you are a prime candidate for Satan to just get in the midst of everything and just completely tear it up. So when we look at this particular passage, we have to understand that the Pharisees had already come looking to, for lack of a better word, pick a fight, to find something wrong with what was going on. Now, let me be honest with you. Everybody can always find something wrong with whatever's going on, can't we? It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing is perfect. Nothing works out, you know, 100% perfect along the way because we're individuals. We are different people. We have different likes. We have different dislikes. You know, I like Jolly Ranchers, okay? Don't hand me a sour head or what do you call them things? If you do that, my jaws are going to tighten up and I'm not going to be a happy. So we have different likes and dislikes as people. But our passage says that the Pharisees showed up to observe Jesus already with a tainted mind and a tainted heart. So when they saw his disciples breaking the code, as it were, by not going through the ceremonial process of the cleansing of hands before they ate, what happens is they're observing this thing. His disciples were eating food with hands that were considered unclean by their particular sets of rules due to not being ceremonially washed. The Pharisees question Jesus about why his disciples do not follow the traditions of the elders. Okay? So boy, I tell you now, we found something. So we're going to go over here and we're going to confront Jesus. These are his followers. He is supposed to be the King of Kings. But you see, they were sitting there trying to say Jesus needed to do it the way that they had planned out all the way along. To me, I think that's pretty brazen to go do that to Jesus. But therein, part of the problem is they didn't actually believe that he was who he said he was. Okay? As we look at this particular passage, see, the focus is on the Pharisees' concerns with ritual purity and their adherence to human tradition. That's what it is. All along, that was the fight they decided they wanted to pick. So let me ask this question. Why did the Pharisees and the teachers of law criticize Jesus' disciples? Well, they criticized the disciples because they were not following the traditions of the Jewish ceremonial washing that were established as a standard for spiritual cleanness, Okay? In other words, they weren't doing it the way that the Pharisees said it should be done. Now, that's very, very interesting, because the problem is the Pharisees are not God Almighty, are they? It's not the Pharisees' position by which to do that. Now, like I said, I've said a couple of times already, even during this particular message, that we are different people. We do things in a different way. And the fact is, we serve the same God. We may serve Him in some different ways. We may have different likes or dislikes, but we also have to be careful as believers that we don't allow man-made traditions to circumvent what it is that God has in store for each and every one of us. See, the Pharisees valued human tradition and external rituals as a measure of righteousness, as a measure of holiness, and they were missing the heart's true condition. What does the heart say? You know, we've seen examples of how people can come to snap judgments, and we do it. I mean, none of us can sit back and say, oh, I don't do that. We make a judgment of a person when we meet them in the first few seconds. You will look at somebody that even you haven't met and say, I don't like what he's wearing. I don't like her hairstyle. Ugh. Where did she fall out of? The 1960s? Ooh, I don't like that. Is that the way that we should go? Because we sit back and say, well, this is not right. This is not tradition. I heard a guy talk about one time when there was a big discussion over over what should be worn to church. And man, listen, that is an age-old thing. You know what? Yeah, you give God your best, and you do your best to give God His very best. But not everybody has what is considered your best in their life. And the bottom line is simply this. If somebody walks through that door, as long as they've got clothing on, not a problem. Yeah? Clothing is not optional. The type of clothing, maybe. You know what? We're in a society today where we have people whose bodies they consider to be art. They have a lot of tattoos, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's not me, because I don't like needles. But you know what? I have had some really good conversations with people asking them about the significance of those tattoos. Not judging them. Tell me what's going on with this. Why did you pick this? Yeah, again, that's not me, but I have heard some pretty interesting things along the way about the representation of what that is. And now some of y'all are going, oh, geez, I'll freak out. Listen, I don't want to stand before God and say that I turned my back on somebody that was lost because of the clothing they wore, the way they dressed, the hairstyles that they had. I would never want anybody to ever say something about the fact that we shut them out or whatever. And I will promise you, that's what society thinks about church today. They think that they are looked upon. They think that they are judged when they walk through the door. And sometimes what happens is they come in with their guard up simply because of that. They're waiting to see how you and I are going to react. I've told this congregation this story many times in my previous church of Spider. How many of y'all remember Spider? The Harley riding tattoo artist that had a big Black Widow tattooed across his neck and everything else, and what made all the difference in this guy's life. Listen, I want to tell you, he's with Jesus now. I know that. But you know why he's with Jesus? Because a couple of little old ladies met him at the door, one in particular, and asked Spider to sit with her during church. And it blew his mind. And now all the other little old ladies were like, and there was, aren't you afraid of him? No, she loved on him. And then before long, all her friends were loving on him. Spider had a geriatric entourage of ladies. And they would have fought to the death for him. And he would have fought to the death for them as well. But you see, they didn't give up on him. They didn't judge him. And Spider gave his life to Jesus. Spider was so excited, he led his cousin to the Lord. The one I've told you about that was the quadriplegic that said, I need to be baptized. Baptized both of them the same day. Both of them are with Jesus today. You never know how long life is. You never know how long you have. And because the tradition didn't circumvent the love of the Savior, those two men are in heaven this day. In fact, they're united with a lot of their entourage who have gone on to be with him as well. So we look at this situation with the Pharisees. How does Jesus respond to the criticism of the Pharisees? You know, that's one word that the older I get, the word criticism makes me cringe. I don't know about you. But you know what? You can even have a discussion. You can disagree with people or whatever, but you don't have to criticize what's taking place. So how did Jesus respond? That's always going to be the best way to respond. How did Jesus respond to the Pharisees' criticism? Now, I will tell you this. Jesus was a straight shooter. Sometimes he didn't sugarcoat anything. But Jesus responds by calling them hypocrites. That's what he goes, oh, hey, hypocrites, welcome to the service. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite who says one thing and does another. Jesus just flat out called these Pharisees. Remember, they are confronting Jesus, and Jesus calls them hypocrites. And then he goes back and he cites Isaiah. Now, they should be very familiar with Isaiah because the Pharisees were the ones who were supposed to be the holy ones, the teachers of scriptures, the ones who knew all. So Jesus even goes back to what they should know by citing Isaiah, explaining that they honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. Lip service. Every single one of us at some phase in our lives have been guilty of lip service. We have been guilty of singing praises to the Lord when we were in some of the deepest, darkest places that nobody ever knew about. We have been guilty of walking in willful sin and coming in and singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine on Sundays. We have all been in that position. And Jesus says, you're proclaiming Jesus with your lips, but there's a problem. There's a disconnect between what you say and what you do. I want to tell you that in the United States of America and in church in general, that is epidemic. The disconnect between what we say and what we do. And it's so ironic that I've had these opportunities to see this along the way, and I've shared with you multiple times, and I probably will continue to do this because I think depending on what circumstances, situation people are in and how we react to those things can make all the difference in the world. It can change society. It will change you. It will change those in your sphere of influence, but it can change society. And the example that I have mentioned before is particularly with what's been going on in the western part of our state. Let me tell you something. Revival is breaking out there. There are people who have nothing. The people that you are sending heaters to, the people that you are sending clothing to, the people that have lost everything have been embraced by the community because of love, because of so many things. And I've said this, not one single time have I been around any sort of discussions where people were discussing politics. Not one single time. Were they sitting back saying, well, let me ask you this. Are you a Southern Baptist or are you a Presbyterian? See, if you're Southern Baptist, we can help you. But if you're Presbyterian, that ain't going to happen. Not one time. Let me tell you something else. Not one single time have I heard anybody go up and say, listen, are you a born-again believer? Because if you are, we can help you with your house, or we can cut these trees off of it, or we can, if you're not a believer, we're going to move on down to the next. Not one single time did I ever hear that. You have people loving people. And I will make this promise. Western North Carolina may be different because of its geography, but I will also tell you that today it is different because of Jesus. I will promise you that. When you reach out to those and when you meet them where they're with a genuine heart, with a genuine heart of concern, it makes all the difference in the world. So Jesus is confronting the Pharisees and he says, you're just giving lip service, but your heart is nowhere near in the right place. And he further accuses them of putting human tradition above God's commandments. See, that's where the break line comes. That's where tradition becomes a bad thing, when it crosses the line and we hold more to tradition than we do to the commandments of God. You see, Jesus challenges the religious leaders by highlighting their misplaced priorities. Priorities are a big thing. You know, we grew up, you know, that was one of the things that I heard so much. You know, are your priorities in the right place? Are we doing the right thing? And listen, Satan loves for us to get our priorities in the wrong order. He loves that. Because if he can keep us busy doing piddly stuff instead of the things that God has truly called us to do, then he wins. And he's real good at that. Where are our priorities? See, Jesus declares that true defilement in this passage comes from within, and that honoring God requires prioritizing his commandments over human traditions. Did you get that? His commandments over human traditions. So what does it mean to elevate human tradition above God's commands? See, those are the questions that we always ask. When we look at it, we see what the points are. What does it mean to elevate human tradition above God's commands? Well, the answer to that is simple. It means placing more importance on rituals, customs, and man-made rules than on cultivating a genuine relationship with God and obeying his words. See, what happens is this attitude leads to legalism. This is an attitude that leads to superficial faith. This is where appearances matter more than the condition of one's heart. What will people say if I do this? What's gonna happen? Yeah, the legalistic aspect of thing. And by the way, I've said this, you know, it was years ago, but Paul was considered to be a legalist, but he was considered to be a legalist in the truest sense of its definition. Legalism actually means to follow the letter of the law, and that in and of itself is not a bad thing, is it? But you see, today's definition of legalism is one of those things where we put a whole bunch of man-made rules in there that are designed to show us how spiritual, and everybody else, how spiritual we are. Let me give you an example. Within reason, you got to be careful here because I'm not going crazy. So you got the preacher has not flipped his lid. But when it is things like, you know, you don't go to the beach. You know, Christians don't go to the beach. In fact, now that's evolved. Christians can go to they don't go to the beach, they go to the coast. Are you picking up what I'm saying? Y'all remember the days. You probably know people that you know, guys, you know, had to, or women had to wear dresses that came all the way down to their ankles. Now, understand there's a happy medium. They shouldn't have them right here either, okay? But you get what, but when it becomes more about those things, guys, your hair can't touch your collar. You know, if it touches your collar, you're going to go to hell. Yeah, that's the beliefs and the legalism that some people act with under. But here's the problem with that. The problem with legalism is people are too busy following the rules, the rituals, and the customs, and they're not having a personal relationship with a holy God who loves them. I've talked to some people that were steeped in legalism before. We've had an opportunity to minister to some people who have been steeped in legalism before. And one of the greatest days in my ministry, one of them, was when that guy said, I now understand what it means to have a personal walk with Jesus, and it is liberating. Not that I have to keep my britches the right size or my hair the right length or all these things. It's about the fact that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for you and he wants to hang out with you. It really isn't about these things that we elevate above what God's command is. You know it. you have seen it. It is still rampant in our society today. Now, again, you got to have some sane reasoning along the line as well. You don't go 100% in the opposite direction, which I have seen people do. They're like, oh, well, if that's what legalism means, they want to rage against the machine and go the opposite direction. That's not good either. So this attitude, the Pharisees' attitude, the Pharisaical attitude, leads to legalism. It leads to superficial faith. It's about God's going to whack me with a stick if I don't do the right things. Now, don't get me wrong. God is a God of judgment. But we don't sit there and try to fulfill the checklist of what it means to be spiritual. We walk with God, and it should be organic. I like that word. That's one of those modern words. Organic. It should be organic. When you follow Jesus, when you get into his word, when you're walking with him and talking with him, the rest of it takes care of itself. It's organic. But do we do that? Remember what the bottom line is. When that slips in, that means appearances matter more than the condition of one's heart. When you have a brother that's been taken in a fall and you reach out and love them, and I've seen this in churches before where churches have been shunned by their own members because somebody didn't agree with what somebody did, but they came and said, we're going to walk with you through this, which, by the way, is what the Bible says we should do. It says when your brother is taken in a fall, one that is more spiritual should prop them up, should come up under them, should stay by their side, not leave them alone and say, when you get your act together, we'll be back for you. That means that sometimes your hands get a little bit dirty because you're carrying the one that needs to be carried. And yet, people will criticize that. They will walk away from it because it doesn't fit the persona. So how do we identify that? How do we identify when we're valuing traditions more than we value God's commandments? Well, we can identify this when we prioritize rituals or customs at the expense of love, at the expense of mercy, at the expense of justice, and at the expense of other core biblical principles. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Following Jesus is not always easy. It's not. Sometimes you have to go where you don't want to go. Sometimes you have to do what you don't necessarily want to do. Sometimes you have to reach out where it's not necessarily in your nature to reach out. Remember what we talked about. Yeah, if you were to sit back today and say, how can I identify that in my life? How can I identify whether I'm being Pharisaical or not? In accordance with what God's word says. Well, when you look at those situations, are you prioritizing rituals? Are you prioritizing customs at the expense? That's the key word, at the expense of love, at the expense of mercy, at the expense of justice, or at the expense of core biblical things? Ask yourself that question. Am I personally doing that? Am I as a church? Are we as a church doing those sort of things? If we are, we have become Pharisaical. And another sign is when we become critical of others' practices without a biblical basis. Did you get that last part? Without a biblical basis. You know, I've actually had people come and say, I don't like that guy's ministry. And I'm like, why? And it was so dumb. It was so superficial. It was so unbiblical. And I'm like, okay, so wait. So this guy's out here leading people to Jesus, and you don't like his ministry. How are you going to justify that before God? How are you going to sit by and criticize? I still remember it was a big debate back when in my college days about a particular, actually it was a couple of particular musical groups that actually presented the gospel at their concerts. And you know what? People were being saved. And you know what the biggest argument was? Oh, I don't like it, because they didn't like that particular genre of music. Oh, I just don't like that. I don't think that's godly. I'm like, well, supposedly they're fruits. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. So how do you justify that particular, I said, yeah, by the way, I don't like them either, but I cannot, I said, I don't like their music, but I cannot sit back and say that it's unbiblical or ungodly. And then here was the one I got. Well, I don't think those people were really saved. I said, you just crossed into a real dangerous territory. I said, because you just became judgmental. I said, you know what? There are facts that have followed up with these people that, yes, they've turned their life over to Jesus. Yes, they have gotten actively involved in church. They're actively seeking Jesus. They're wanting to serve him. And you're going to sit there and say, I just don't believe it's real because you don't like what's going on. That's a dangerous position to be in. Very, very dangerous. You know what? Now, we all have taste and styles, and we all don't like everything. Like I said, I didn't particularly care for the genre of that particular group. But you know what? I can't take away from the fact that they were winning people to Jesus, and they may be my neighbors in heaven. So you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to support them as best I can to carry Jesus to a lost and dying world. We need to examine our spiritual practices to ensure that they are biblically sound and serve to draw us close to God rather than simply fulfilling the human expectation. I can't tell you how many times that I always ask that question. I'm like a three-year-old when it comes down to biblical conversations sometimes. I'll be like, why do you do that? Oh, because of this. Well, why do you do that? Well, because of this. Why? Y'all remember those, moms? Y'all remember that? You got so tired of hearing that at times. Why? That's the way I am. Why is it that we have the practices that we have? Yeah, are they biblically sound? Do they serve to draw us closer to God? Or is it just because that's what we always do? You know, sometimes we can get into that. Even church-related things. Sometimes we can do things so repetitiously that they lose their meaning. You know, I remember, and some of y'all have been places. I mean, some of y'all have been places or know of churches that have communion every Sunday. You know what? Is there a problem with having communion every Sunday? No, there's not. But you know what to me happens, I've seen happen a lot, is that what happens is people begin to take that for granted. They begin to take the ordinance and the practice thereof for granted. It's just, this is something that we do every Sunday at the end of the service. Give me my bread, yeah, give me my juice, let me do my thing, and let's get on out of here because all this is going to do is make me more hungry than I am right now. So hurry up. Let's get moving. No. When you come around the Lord's table, it should be with meaning. It should be the time of examination. Had a conversation with a pastor 2 weeks ago, and he said, does anybody actually call their congregation into a time of examination before communion? You know how many of those preachers in that forum said they did? One. Remember? But let a man examine himself. You know what the rest of them were doing? Because sometimes it can become mechanical. It needs to have the meaning around it. I'll tell you one thing. If Jesus walked through that door and pulled up to the communion table, you would probably look at it a whole lot different than Roy and David passing it around. Because when Jesus looks in your eyes, he already knows your heart. Jesus does look in your eye. Jesus does know your heart. Examine your spiritual practices to ensure that they are biblically sound. Unfortunately, the American church is moving away from biblically sound to people pleasing. I'd rather preach to 100 people that are biblically sound than 10,000 who have compromised the Word of God. I'll take my chance on that because I'm going to spend a lot more time with God than I will with anybody else. So what biblical truth can we learn from this passage as we begin to wrap it up today? Well, the biblical truth is that God's command should take precedent over human traditions, and genuine purity comes from a heart that is aligned with His will. Did you get that? A heart that is aligned with His will. See, the truth calls for self-reflection. The truth calls for intentional pursuit of inner transformation over mere outward conformity. Because I'll tell you this, I could walk in here tomorrow and I could look like a surgeon. And if all of you all who know me would laugh. Yeah, and if we had twice as many people in here that were guests, and I walked in here, their first recognition would be like, oh, boy, here's a godly doctor. He just got out of surgery and he's coming to church. I wonder what kind of surgeon he is. You people that are here are going to be going, look, preacher, Halloween was a couple weeks ago. You see, the thing about it is, you know me. You know I'm not a surgeon. They don't. But yet what happens is too many people wear the facade for the whole world to see. The spiritual facade. Look how godly I am. And yet, so far away from God Himself. That God goes, what is going on? The Pharisees, the ones who should know, the ones who should be the leaders, came in a critical heart, in a critical spirit, and even stood in the face of Jesus Christ Himself to criticize. I have learned something in the years I've been on this earth, that even if I don't agree with something, I try my best never to criticize. And I've said this too, if somebody wants to criticize, usually what I'll say is this, when do you want to start? Because apparently you can do it better. You're going to start next Sunday. Oh, no. I don't want to do that. Remember, if it's not ungodly, it may not be your thing. But if it's not ungodly and it is spiritually effective, nothing wrong with it. Don't get caught up like the Pharisees going, the disciples did not ceremonially wash their hands before they ate, Jesus. What are you going to do about this? Jesus is like, let me tell you what I'm going to do about it. You bunch of hypocrites. You are so far from God, and yet you're parading around like you and Him are as tight as peanut butter and jelly. We need to take the time this week to pray and reflect on areas of human traditions in our lives that may have overshadowed our relationship with God. We need to seek God's guidance in aligning our hearts with His command and asking for a sincere and a pure devotion to Him. And you know what sometimes that means? Sometimes that means coming and saying, Lord, I ain't got a clue. Yeah, those are some of the greatest prayers I've ever heard in my life. Lord, I want to follow you, but I ain't got a clue. And yet sometimes we get to the point where we're like, oh God Almighty, from where art thou in the ethereal place called heaven high above the earth? Be thou my guide. You don't talk like that. You're not Shakespearean or Elizabethan. Yeah, sometimes I'm like, Lord, you're God and I'm not. You are perfect and I am not. You are worthy of praise. And Lord, I am a small fish in a gigantic pond, but I need your help. And God already knows that. Yeah, here's one thing that sometimes just brings tears to my eyes. In the midst of all this stuff, in the midst of all this thing in the world, in the midst of science and knowledge and war and technology and all this stuff, God Almighty knows my name. Personally, and calls me by name. And he never says, look, Roy, I got to handle this hunger situation overseas, or there's a war situation. Look, could you wait outside in the waiting room? You know what God does? God hears my prayer. He hears my cry every single time. In the times that I have hit my knees and said, Lord, I can't do this. And he looks at me and he goes, I know, but I can. And I am going to use you to accomplish my will. And that way, he said, I made you like you are, so that even people of Central Baptist Church will look at situations and say, those were God things, because Roy ain't smart enough to pull it off. And I know that for the last 20 years, there have been things that you all have said, that has to be a God thing, because I know the preacher's not smart enough to pull that off. That's okay. I'm okay with that. That's the way it's supposed to be. That he gets the credit. That he gets the glory. Make sure that the things that you do for the right reasons when it comes down to tradition, when it comes down to so many other things. Are they in line with what God would have? Brad, you guys come on up. We're getting ready to have our time of invitation. The question above all questions, the main question is this. Do you know my Jesus? If you don't, you know, I've said so many times, just like in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, he called the rich man because he didn't know his name, but he always called Lazarus by name because Lazarus was one of his children. He calls me by name. Does he call you by name today? Or do you say, Lord? And he goes, and you are? Have you trusted him? Have you given your life to him? Have you confessed, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe what Jesus accomplished through the cross, through the grave, and through the resurrection to provide salvation for me. Listen, if not, then you need to stop whatever you're doing right now, whether you're watching online, driving down the road in the car, whatever it may be, and just simply say, cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need you to save me and help me to live a life that's pleasing to you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now listen, folks, if you did that, that's the handshake. The Lord, you have opened the door. You have allowed him to come in. You know, what's the next step? Somebody comes to your door, knocks, you open the door, and you say, come in. Do you just stand there? No, normally you'll say, well, come on in, have a seat. Yeah, sit on that couch over there. It's a comfortable one, or this recliner. Let me get you something to drink. We're from the South. Somebody always has cookies and cakes and all that around, you know. Let me get you something to eat. And you begin the process of growing the relationship. That's where you are right now. Listen, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to help you. It's not painful, I promise. Discipleship is fun if you do it right. And we can do it right, I promise. Have you been baptized? Have you followed him baptized? That is a command. Remember what the Lord commanded. And I've said this so many times around here because I know that there will always be people who did that. You know, you followed the crowd when you were in the youth group or when you were young, and then you got baptized because every old-time preacher dunked you the next day. Whether you wanted it or not, that's the way it went. And then later on, you trusted Christ, and you're counting on your baptism from before, and that don't count. You got wet. You know, I take a bath every day. I don't get baptized every day. But it don't count. Baptism is the first act of obedience following salvation. You're not lost. Baptism is not an element of salvation. It is an act of obedience following salvation. But have you been obedient? You don't have to answer that question to me. If you want to argue with me about it, then you're arguing with the Holy Spirit. Take it up with him. He's told you that. We're going to have one coming up soon. Carol. That's great, man. I love it. Carol said, yep, I got the order a little bit messed up. It saved a little bit later. I'm going to get her done. That's bravery. That's courage. That's public profession. You want to go through the baptismal with Carol? We're going to get her done here within the next couple weeks. All you got to do is say, yep, I'm ready, preacher. Just come down here and tell me. Yeah, I need to be baptized. We'll talk about it. But we'll get it done. Maybe you're here today and you just said, you know what? I have been so traditionalized with things. I've gone through the motions. but they don't hold the meaning that they're supposed to hold. It's time to get that refresher with the Lord. It's time that you come back to know Him. You see, then what happens is as we do the things that we do as acts of worship and everything else, will be done for the right meaning, the right heart. And man, I'll tell you one thing. You cannot even describe that particular feeling. God is good. And all the time. He really is good. Listen, if you need this altar, it's here. If you need me, I'm here. If you trusted Christ, please let us know. If you're part of our online audience, let Dr. J over here know. And he's going to let me know. We're going to celebrate with you, and we're going to be having a time of our lives. So what is it that you need to do before the Lord? Do that now. As we stand and we sing, and Brad leads us in our invitation hymn number 317, Only Trust Him. Will you do that today? Your bowed, your eyes are closed, and as you do business with God, the plain simple fact of the matter is He is reaching out to you right now. He is knocking on that door. What you do with that is up to you, but you will be responsible for the decision that you make in His presence on this very day. Make the right decision. Do what you do for all of the right reasons. As you continue to seek the Father, I'm going to ask our ushers to make their way to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, You are so good to us, and all provision comes from You. All good things come from You. And Lord, You ask so little of us, but I pray that, Lord, we truly would be found faithful to return to You the tithe and the offering, that, Lord, not only Your kingdom would go forward, but Lord, You promised us a great blessing in our faithfulness. So, Lord, as we say many times, may You bless not only the gift, but may You bless the giver in the faithfulness to return to You what is rightfully Yours. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Amen. I'm going to check and see. She might already be next door. There are those that have volunteered to serve with Operation Christmas Child for the regional drop-off. How many of y'all have done that? You've signed up. You're going. Okay. Janet needs you to take just a minute to fill out the volunteer worksheet that is required by Operation Christmas Child. So I'm going to ask you to do this. If that's you, if you all will make your way over to the conference room in the next building, go ahead and go now. So that way you won't be late for lunch. Volunteers that are going to be working the regional drop-off for Operation Christmas Child, follow Kendall. She's going out that door right there. She'll take you where you need to be. Just let everybody bunch up. You can herd them up and then head over that way. Once again, it's just a quick information that Operation Christmas Child or Samaritan's Purse needs. And then that way you'll be ready to go when the time comes. As they make their way out, just to let you know, the birthdays we have coming up this week, it's Erica Wright. I always called them Erica and Aaron, but I can't do that now because Erica is still Wright, but Aaron is Sykes. So at any rate, they're having birthdays today. If you get a chance to see them, be sure to wish them a happy birthday. This coming Wednesday, Sarah Logan will be celebrating her birthday, and Friday, Elizabeth Fondeau will be having her birthday. So if you have an opportunity, let these folks know that you love them, you care for them, you're going to be praying for them. This coming, as far as anniversaries, this coming Tuesday, Kelly and Nancy Young will be celebrating their anniversary. Which one is this?
About 36.
About 36, somewhere around about there. Okay, there you go. 36 years she has put up with Kelly. That's a good woman. So pray for them and be sure to wish them a very happy anniversary this coming Tuesday. Just a quick rundown of things we've got going today. My discipleship group, D-Life, meets 3:30 today, FLC 116. There is a building and grounds meeting today at 3:30 here in the sanctuary. So it'll be in the sanctuary. Don't forget that. Choir practice, 4:45. At its time, Awana, its regular time, 5:30, and then 6 o'clock p.m. is Bible study with Pastor David back in room, is it 6? Room 6, down that hall right there. If you're not sure, room 5. Okay, room 5. If you're not sure where they are, come in the main doors, turn 90 degrees to your left, and holler. Somebody will answer you, and just head back down that way. Then on Monday, Steve's D group has a new meeting time at 6 o'clock here at the church, FLC 116. So if you're part of that, be sure to be there. Don't forget, every week, the men's breakfast, 10 a.m. at the Olympic in Colfax, a time of fellowship and time of just getting to know each other a little bit better. Here are a couple dates you may want to write down. The Ladies Connections monthly meeting will be on the 4th of December at 6 o'clock p.m. in the Family Life Center, 116. Then on December the 11th, there'll be the Ladies Monthly Breakfast that is at Cagney's at Friendly. And then just to give you a rundown here, I think I've got it right this time. Mainly, this is the announcement for those that have gone over there that are helping in Operation Christmas Child. If you forget or you don't bring your box tonight, don't worry. You can still bring it this coming week because of the fact that we're a regional drop-off center. So these are the times that people will be bringing by the boxes from their businesses, churches, or whatever. On the 11th, that is from November the 18th is from 4 to 7 o'clock p.m. The 19th is actually, the 19th through the 22nd is from 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Then there's a couple other times on the 23rd, that's from 2 to 5. On the 24th, it's 2 to 4:30. And then on the 25th, it's 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. That's the last day. But if you have a box, you can bring it by the office or you can bring it by at one of these times when we will be here making collection of the boxes to ship to the next spot. Finance team has a meeting on the 24th after church. I guess that's next Sunday. Next Sunday, the 24th after church, finance team has a meeting. Hang of the Greens will be December the 1st at 10:45 right here. We'd love to have you be a part of decorating our church as we get ready to head into the Christmas season. Also, the Christmas Cantata will be on the 15th of December at 6 o'clock p.m. Right here. And then our Cuba mission trip, I want you to keep praying for that, is February the 28th through March the 7th. And pray for Steve. We're hoping that Steve's still going to be able to go with us. A potential surgery lies on the horizon because I don't even know how the man's walking. Got a torn ACL and everything else. So, you know, keep Steve in your prayers. Mari is doing well in her recovery. We want to continue to pray for Nancy as she just fights the battle every day. So lots of prayer needs within our church. Remember our very own Roger and Don Reed, Joanne and John. Don't let them get away from your hearts because they're just so very near and dear to us. Is there anything I have forgotten? Yes, ma'am. Diane. No, I didn't know anything was going on. Hmm? Okay, so that's Diane. We want to be praying for Diane.
She said she lost 9 pounds in 10 days.
Well, let's keep Diane in our prayers. We'll try to give folks a better report on that as we go forward. Pastor David, come let us know what needs to be known. You can give us an update on heaters and any disaster response stuff we've got going on, and pray us out of here.
Do missions here, and I love it. Update on our heater situation. We purchased heaters from Cleveland, Ohio. They were supposed to be here on the 14th. They actually came on the 15th. Billy, who's been flying our stuff in, who was going to fly this in, was in Maryland all week, and he came back on the 15th. And I called him about 1 o'clock, and I said, truck's going to be here at 1:45 to take those, to drop those heaters off. And 15 minutes after the truck left, Billy was here loading them up in his car, getting ready to take them, put them in his airplane and fly them to the mountains. They are there. If you had part in purchasing a heater and all the equipment that went with it, you made somebody really happy last night. They were warm last night and probably one of the coldest nights we've had in a long time. So thank you for doing that. We may have a second opportunity to do that. We don't know. Update on our, if you saw in the bulletin, things are changing in Western North Carolina at a rapid pace, and a lot of people are still involved. So we want to try to stay current. We'll try to find out exactly what the need is and when it is, and we'll let you know, and I know you'll respond. Hopefully we can have some shots that Billy has taken from Avery County to show next week during our video time when we've been doing Operation Christmas Child during that time. But hopefully we can have just a few pictures, whether they're pre-service or after the service or part of the service, that you see some of the things that we've been involved in. Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being in your house and worshiping as the family God together. We thank you for your love for us and your provision for our needs. God, we lift up those who are part of our membership, who are going through difficult times now, some in the hospital, some at home recovering. Lord, you know who they are. We just ask that you do for them what no one else can do, and that's to provide that healing that they need. Bless us as we go from this place, Father. Help us to be a witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.